it is a series, it may start out and it may seem elementary to us. But in preparing this, I'm preparing this that it could even be put into book form. And so you got to start out with elementary before you can move up to. You got to start out with milk before you can move up to meat. And so this is going to be a series of the Serious Servants Institute. And the reason that I am doing this is because we all have ministry. That's what I'm going to kind of bring out here this morning, or this evening. You'll have to forgive me, I didn't preach this morning, so I may intertwine it. And praise God. I know you're merciful people. So, bear with me tonight, because I'm really more used to preaching than I am to teaching, and I may do both. And so, we may be here a while, but we may not. We just don't know yet, but we will find out here in just a moment. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Welcome to the Serious Servant Institute. You have been some of the brave souls that have stepped out into this time of teaching. First, I want to give you a definition of serious. The state or activity demanding careful consideration or application. Now, my sound booth man doesn't have this when I added this just a little bit later. So, to be serious, it demands careful consideration or application. To apply something. To think about something. I'm reminded, I can't help it, I've been working in the school for 25 years plus. And I will never forget, and probably still encounter it, when students come to questions and there's these big capital letters, think. They all just melt. I don't know how to do this. Really? that's amazing. You don't know how to think? And then I look at them and say, I believe you. Serious, requiring much thought or work. What's missing in society today? Thought and work. Seriousness. Of course, the reason that is all missing in society today is because the Bible is missing in society today. Because God is missing in society today. And society needs to encounter someone that's serious about thought and work. A serious servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're dealing with being serious. Careful consideration or application. Bringing it to pass. Much thought, much work. Amen. So now we're going to move into the handout that I gave to you. Or actually that Isaac and Grant gave to you. And I don't know if Brother Lucas can make it any bigger or not. Oh yeah, look at him go. And some may be able to see it, some may not. Amen. Now, the date on that is not the correct date. Today is April the 10th. I do realize that. But believe it or not, mine says April the 10th. So you can start filling that out if you can see it. I'm going to talk about it just for a little bit also. Of course, the very title of what we're doing, Serious Servants Institute. That means we're going to be teaching on becoming serious servants. Now, we may all be servants, because that's what we're talking about tonight, is the birth of a servant. The birth of a servant. Serious Servants Institute, School of Ministry. School of Ministry. I'm going to give you a moment just to go ahead and fill that out so that then I can have your full attention as I'm speaking. Amen. But we've all been given a ministry. Yeah. A ministry. And as this, we're going to read the scripture here in a moment. It's the ministry of reconciliation. Every one of us have the ministry of reaching the lost. Every one of us have the ministry of reconciling men and women to God. Hallelujah. In other words, every one of us have been given that opportunity by God to help somebody along life's way know a little bit more about the love of Jesus. Now, you might want to write notes, because everything I'm going to say tonight is not in this handout. It is being recorded, I think. Being recorded. It's on Facebook Live. You can go back and listen to it if you missed out on filling in some of the blanks. But it's a Serious Servants Institute. It's a school of ministry. Amen. Servant. What is a servant? It comes from the word servans, from servo, to keep or hold. Properly, one that waits. Wow, and I couldn't help but think about they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and how that Brother Noah Hatfield preached on waiting, being a waiter. In other words, serving God. Hallelujah. And so we see then it stops, holds, attends, or one that is bound. I'm all wrapped up, tied up, tangled all up in Jesus. I'm bound in that love. Hallelujah. Praise God. Definition number one, a person, male or female, that attends another for the purpose of performing menial offices for him. Performing. Performance. That's what God is after. Performance in our lives. One who is employed by another for such offices or for other labor and is subject to his command. Oh, praise God. Testimonies tonight. I'm glad I was obedient to God. Yes, hallelujah. I want to be more sensitive to obey quicker. Praise the Lord. That's a servant's heart. That's a serious servant of the Lord. It's subject to his command. The word is correlative to master. In other words, the servant always has a master. Servant, number two, servant differs from slave, as a servant's subjection to a master is voluntary. Voluntary. A slave's is not. Every slave is a servant, but every servant is not a slave. Hallelujah. Now Paul talked about being a bond servant or a slave, bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you delve into that, you find out that bond slave was actually someone who willingly wanted to stay as a servant to that master, even when it came time that he could go free from that master. But he loved that master, and he wanted to serve that master, and so then he became that bond slave, that servant of that master, by voluntary choice. Praise God. Now our scripture here tonight, and Brother Lucas has got the first part of it up there. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, as I've done study on this scripture, I have come to the understanding, and a lot of times at first glance, people get a little discouraged because everything in their life doesn't change immediately after they're born again by the Spirit of God, after they've become that servant, that birth of the servant's what we're talking about. And then they may begin to get discouraged because there's still some things that they may struggle with or wrestle with. But upon a little observation and a looking at the tense of what's being said here, old things are passed away or passing away. Behold, all things are become new or becoming new. It's got the understanding that this is a process. A new creature's been given, but now there's a process, hallelujah, of what we need to do with this new creature that's been given to you and I. That's what we're after here in the series Servants Institute, and especially tonight, the birth of a servant. Says verse number 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us," that's you and me, that's Apostle Paul, that's all the disciples, that's all the believers, "hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Once again, what is that? That is you and I living for Jesus Christ in such a manner and such a way as it was testified tonight. When you see me, let them see Jesus. Amen. That's the ministry of reconciliation. That's the ministry of presenting Jesus Christ to someone else. It's not a matter of just words. We got people that are naturally talkers. In other words, they could talk to a fence post even if it didn't talk back to them. They are talkers naturally. Witnessing for Jesus, they just love to tell people about Jesus. But does their life line up as a serious servant of Christ? Because that's what people are actually going to look at. They may hear words, but they're going to look at lives. And so that's what it's all about. A serious servant is an individual that is serious about their life. And I don't know if did you tape your message, Brother Timmy? You recorded it? Okay, because I want to go back and listen to it. That sounds like, because that's what you preached on. Being that reflection of the light. That's good. That's what serious servants are. A reflection of the light. Good message. I haven't even heard it yet, and I'm excited about it. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we have this ministry. Who has this ministry? The pastor? Pastor has the ministry, right? The associate pastors, they've got the ministry, right? No. It's the church. It's the believer has this ministry of reconciliation. Amen. I mean, when those believers left Jerusalem, after the day of Pentecost and even several days afterwards, when persecution began to rise and they had to scatter and start going home, they took the ministry of reconciliation with them. Because everywhere they went, they shared Jesus Christ. Praise God. That's what it's all about. Sharing Christ and presenting Christ, living Christ. Verse 19, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Hallelujah. The Lord spoke to us this morning, tongues interpretation, that there's not anything that you've done that is too far for him to not forgive. It's the ministry of reconciliation. I've made this statement before. I'm going to make it again. A lot of people want to claim, well, I've probably blasphemed the Holy Ghost, and God won't forgive me because I probably did it. Number one, you said probably, so that means you don't have a clue whether you did or didn't. Number two, you wouldn't even be thinking about it had you blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Because God wouldn't give you the time of day again. But because you're thinking about it, and the enemy's the one that's telling you about that, that means God's talking to you about, come unto me.
come unto me. I will give you rest. I will wash your sins away. In other words, the reality, it's a ministry of reconciliation. There's no sin that he will not forgive, except the sin of the blaspheming of the Holy Ghost. And if you're worried about it, then you haven't done it. Or you wouldn't even be thinking about it at all. And so that ministry of reconciliation is God drawing. If we confess our sins, it's not in our notes here, but if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, if I remember correctly, if we confess our sins, he's just and faithful to forgive us of our sins. Hallelujah. So the ministry of reconciliation is sharing the goodness of God to where people realize their sins. Do you realize that the moving of the Spirit of God, like we had it this morning, is God not only refreshing, but illuminating? If there's something there between me and my Savior in the move of God like we had this morning, you're going to know what it was. And you're going to know what it is. And you're going to make moves to change that because you're a serious servant of Jesus Christ. Praise our God. It's a ministry of reconciliation. It's been committed unto us, ambassadors for Christ. How many's heard that word, ambassadors? Maybe better not use too many longs ago. Used to be a very emphasized thing in the Assembly of God denomination, ambassadors for Christ. Somewhere along the way, it kind of fizzled out, I think, but I don't know. But I'm not part of that denomination anymore, but ambassadors, and this is where they got it. And it was not wrong, it was right, because we are the ambassador. We're the one to bear the light, to take the light, to reflect the light. I mean, we're the ambassadors. So here we're looking at a new creature that comes from God. So, I'm going all the way back to Genesis to really show forth the birth of a servant here tonight. I'm going all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. Because that's really how you got to do a study. Because God's immutable. He never changes. His word is forever settled in heaven. So if you want to talk about something God's done and something that God's doing, you're going to find it from Genesis to Revelation. He may change the application as he did in the New Testament. The blood of Jesus Christ is the application now. But the truth of his word has not changed one bit. Jesus himself said, I haven't come to destroy the law. I've come to fulfill it. Amen. And he said, not one jot or tittle is going to change forever. Hallelujah. So I want to go back and I want to look at the birth of Adam. That's right. The birth of Adam. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. The birth of Adam. Adam was born, if you will, a new creature. He'd never been before, had he? He was now a new creature created by God in the image of God. He was the first serious servant on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But you know the story just as well as I do. When God told him, you will surely die, wasn't talking about physical death. He was talking about that spiritual death. And so we lose the spiritual life. Mankind loses the spiritual life that God created him with. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8, we see what happens after Adam lost that newness of life, if I can put it like that. That spiritual life. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They heard, they hid from God's presence. Now, as you look at all this story, you find that Adam and Eve had perfect fellowship with God. Adam and Eve had perfect communication with God. Adam and Eve were in just total synchronization. If I can use that word, it's a big word, not a normal word for me. But they were one with God because they walked with God. They talked with God. They did everything that God asked them to do until that one day. And then all of a sudden, look at the change that transpired. They still knew the voice of God because they heard it. Let that sink in. They still knew the voice of God, but they hid themselves instead of ran to Him. Something's changed. Now we've got a sin nature to deal with. Adam and Eve brought that sin nature into this world, and from that point forward, every human being born in on the face of this earth has to deal with that. We call it the Adamic nature, the sin nature. It wasn't how Adam was created, but it's what Adam chose. Let that sink in. It's not always what God wants, but it will be what we choose. But if we choose what God wants, we're serious servants. Woo. Praise our God. I know this is going slow. Maybe it's elementary. But this is the reality. There's going to be things going on in our lives that will conflict that new creature. That will try to steal our servant's heart. And we'll teach on that here later on. But that birth of that servant, it came from God. Adam was born that servant. But Adam lost that position. He lost that place. He lost that standing with our God. There's another birth that I didn't put in my notes. But it is one of the main truths and beliefs of the child of God. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Ghost. Amen. He was born of God. He became man. He died for the sins of the world. So we're just kind of going past that. And we'll reflect into Jesus Christ's life as a servant later in later teachings. But this one is the birth of the servant. So we lost that relationship with God. They never really gained it back fully in the Old Testament because the law was given that sin might become exceedingly sinful. In other words, the pain, the torment of sin was revealed in the law, and the law didn't really bring comfort. The law didn't really bring deliverance. The law brought reality of my condition, and I must sacrifice to my God because of my condition. Wow. I mean, that's why David was called a servant of God. That's why Moses was called a servant of God. Joshua, the servant of God. Why? Because they were serious men that decided to follow God when He came on the scene and began to speak to them. They just said, yes, we will. Hallelujah. They chose to follow God because God's, if you will, God's grace came on the scene in their lives. Because that was the grace of God that brought the law, believe it or not. Most folks don't look at it that way, but it was God's grace bringing that law to reveal to man his condition, so that when he brought by grace Jesus Christ into this world, then he could show that now I am the fulfillment of that law. And now it's me, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so we see we lost, Adam was born, spiritual life. He lost that spiritual life. But when Jesus Christ came teaching, and this is what I'm after, and this is something that we have got to wrap our minds around fresh and anew, because I really feel like we're not serious enough about it. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. It's not a matter of joining a church. Not a matter of turning over a new leaf. It's not a matter, all right, I'm going to quit doing this, and find me a church to go to. That's not it. It's not where it's at all. That does not bring a servant to birth. Not at all. That's why a lot of people in churches everywhere do not serve God, are not a reflection of the light. They're not serious about what God's Word says. Most of them don't even know what God's Word says. When you're born from above, and you're born by the Spirit of God, and you're born again, you've got a new creature that has now been birthed in you that was just like Adam, just like Eve before they fell. Hallelujah, that has a relationship with God, synchronized with God, a oneness with God, a newness with God. And this is where the servant is born, at this new birth, this new conversion, this regeneration. And all this is not in your papers there, but it's all part of it. This is where the servant is born. He's born, she's born of God. Verse number 4, though, Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old, and can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? It was totally foreign to Nicodemus, who was a teacher of the law, because it was something that superseded the law and that was going to bring a change in the hearts and the minds of men and women to become fulfillers of the law. Wow. Verse number 5, and Jesus answered, Verily, verily, that means this is the most important thing you could ever hear. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. There's been those that have observed the Christian way, and they thought, I want to be part of that. And they just join up with the believers. They like what they feel. They like what they see. They like what they hear, until they hear something that requires thought and work. Something that requires change. And then they think, I don't know if I want to be part of this group. I'm going to go find another group to be part of them. I've encountered those in our short 20 years of Calvary Lighthouse Church. Those that came in, knew God was in the house, greatest church I've ever been in, until it was time for them to change something in their lives, and it was, oh, we can't go there. Y'all are too mean. It's amazing how you can go from being the greatest church they've ever been in to, no, you're too mean. You don't have it right. What is that? Something's missing in spiritual life. Something's missing in the servant's mind frame. Something's missing in the desire of the heart. Sometimes then I wonder, have they really ever been born again? Have they really ever been changed on the inside, or did they just come join hands, and then when the fire got hot, whoa, I don't want that. Wow. You see, a servant, wherever his master is, that's where he's going to be. That's where she's going to be. That true servant of the Lord, that serious servant of God, is going to seek out where the master's at. Woo, praise God. Why? Because that new creature has been created just like the master. Praise our God. And so you must be born again. Now here's something I want to show you that correlates to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Where God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. In John chapter 20, 21 and 22. And this is kind of a debated portion of Scripture. But it's definitely Scripture. And it's definitely truth. And it's definitely fact. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you." Once again, the ministry of reconciliation. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now we know from observation of Scripture that the baptism in the Holy Ghost did not transpire till the day of Pentecost. Jesus himself stood up in John chapter 7, verse 37, and spake about that living water that shall flow out of our innermost being. But John gives us the understanding, but he was talking about the Holy Ghost, who had not yet been given because he had not yet been glorified. And so we see then that what Jesus did here after his resurrection is very similar to what God did when he created Adam. He breathed on them. Why did he do that? I just got to interject this. This, of course, is where Benny Hinn got his nonsense. Breathing on people and knocking them down. That's how the enemy does take the truths of God's word and twist them for manipulation of people. Hope you're not a Benny Hinn fan. If you are, maybe you won't be now. Because he's not of God. It's not the Spirit of God. And it's a manipulation of men and women into darkness is what it is. But Jesus Christ, when he breathed on them, he said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now you got to realize, Jesus told Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." You've got to be born of the Spirit. Now, we never see this anywhere else. But yet we know what Jesus said. And we know the correlation of the response of men that encountered Jesus Christ. Now, Philip was not here. No. Back up. Thomas was not here. I mean, remember, doubting Thomas. "Unless I put my hand in his side and see the nail scars in his hand," so it's all Thomas's fault. Jesus still has nail scars in his side and his hand. Because Jesus did that for him. That's love, if you didn't know that. That's love. Jesus didn't have to maintain those scars. He didn't have to keep them at all. But he did, just so Thomas could see them. What was Thomas's response? "My Lord, my God." The moment Thomas saw those scars, he believed and there was a change in him. "My Lord, my God." What happened to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus? "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Oh, you see, there's going to be a change when you encounter Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There's going to be a new creature created inside, and there's going to come up a servant. "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Woo, praise God. You know, so this is where they were born again, if you will. This is where Jesus breathed on and brought spiritual life into them. This is why they were able to tarry. for 40 days. They were able to tarry for 10 days in Jerusalem waiting for the promise of the Father because there was a servant's heart created in them, and that's what Jesus told them to do, and that is what they were going to do. Hallelujah, because that's what a servant does. A servant obeys their master. Praise God. That's what gave them the strength, the courage, the power to tarry there until they were endued with power from on high. And the baptism in the Holy Ghost came into this world, and that'd be another lesson. But here we find then there was that newness of life given to those disciples. Amen. And you see, that's where a servant is born. When you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ and you're born again by the Spirit of God, you're going to come up confessing Him Lord, Master, Savior. You're not going to come up telling Jesus what you will do, what you won't do, how you will live, how you won't live. Now, Lord, if you want this, now I don't know if I can do it. You're not going to bar. No, 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 no. There's not been a birth of a servant there. No, no, no. When you're born again, your whole sinful life flashes before your eyes. What's that mean, Brother Pepper? That means you have a reality of your sinful condition that has separated you from God. You may not be able to put a name tag on everything. It's just the reality of your sinfulness. And when you get that, then you ask for mercy and you cry for mercy. And then the next thing that happens is there is a change and you realize that it is gone. Hallelujah. And you come up from that experience knowing you have been changed. Something has changed. Something is different. Hallelujah. Praise God. Justin, Miranda, just recently, there was a change in everything of his countenance, everything of what was going on. What was that? A servant was born. A servant was born. Ooh, hallelujah to the Lamb. A servant was born. And you see, 1 Peter 1 and 23 makes mention again, being born again, not of corruptible seed. It's talking about the seed of Adam. But of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Hallelujah. I don't know whether Peter was talking about Jesus here. He could have very well been. Because John said he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Hallelujah. And he says, we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. You could put Jesus right there. You could put the Word of God right there. I'm talking about the Bible, which liveth and abideth forever. But when he says liveth and abideth forever, I'm pretty confident he's talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. We've been born by incorruptible seed. Hallelujah. That seed of David, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, creating a new creature inside of me that loves God, loves the law, and looks to God as our Father, which art in heaven. Hallelujah. And the reality then, a servant is born. That's the first thing. I remember it like it was yesterday. The first thing I did after Jesus Christ saved my soul and I was born again by the Spirit of God is I went and grabbed a hold of my Bible and would not put it down. Just read it and read it and read it and read it and read it. Took it in my lunchbox, read it and read it and read it. What had happened? There was a servant that was born inside of me. Hallelujah. And I wanted that servant to grow and to feast upon the Word of God. I took my Bible out of its box. Probably for the first time since I got it. I got that Bible when I was 13. and it was a gift. And what you did with Bibles that were a gift for where I was raised up in church, you left it in the box and you put it on a shelf. And he said, I got a Bible. And so from 13, for 10 years, that Bible, brand new, sitting in a box. In the midst of that box was all the little certificates. They fit right inside the box. They were the perfect size. All my certificates of perfect attendance to Sunday school were right underneath that Bible. I had just gotten saved. You see, if I wanted to count being raised in church, well, I had that, marked that, yep, got it. Was you faithful to church? Oh, yep, had that too. Perfect attendance in Sunday school year after year. Because if I didn't go to church, they'd tan my hide. Yeah, and so I'd get up every Sunday morning and go to church, you know. I had the pins. I had little pins for how many years you've been in Sunday school. But I'd never read my Bible. Oh, but when Jesus came in, a servant was born. I went, got that Bible off that shelf, out of that box. I've still got it back in my office. I wore that thing out. Woo. Why? Because a servant was born. I wanted to know what my Lord wanted me to do. Hallelujah. I just wanted to know more about my Lord. I wanted to know more about my God. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, that's the birth of a servant. If you don't have that type of an experience with God, to where something has changed inside of you and you want nothing but God's word, God's way, God's love, God's power, then you haven't yet been born again. Because when you're born again, that is what you want. That is what you desire. Your desires change. Your longings change. Hallelujah. You want to be more like Jesus Christ. Once again, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, be in Christ. He's a new creature. Whoa. Anybody ever looked at you, observed your life, say, you're a strange one? Well, you may have been a strange one before you got saved. I don't know. I was. You're a strange one. A strange creature. A new creature. Hallelujah. Praise God. Old things are passing away, are passed away. All things are become new. There's a change of desire. There's a change of want to. There's a change. Hallelujah. But you've got to keep it alive. You've got to keep it alive. And I'm going to close this teaching tonight with the parable of the seed and the sower. Because we're the ones that have to keep what God has given us alive. Luke chapter 8, verse number 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. God's word. From this morning at 9:30, God's word began to be sown. Sunday school. The place of serious servants. Sunday school. The place of teaching, training, Sunday school. Oh, the place of serious servants, Sunday school. Hallelujah. Praise. God's word began to come forth at 9:30. Now, if you're like me, you get up and you turn on the Bible and then you turn on gospel music, the word starts even sooner. But for sure, it starts at 9:30 in Calvary Lighthouse Church on Sunday morning in Sister Pepper's teenage class or young people's class. You're not a teenager. Sorry, you're getting old. But it started at 9:30 because God's word began to be taught. Started at 9:45. for the adult class. And it hasn't stopped yet. Praise God. God's words. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they, once again, that hear. Then cometh the devil. He tried to come this morning, didn't he, Brother Charles? Praise God. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So they heard. You know, there's something about it. You know, most people really know there is a God. If someone claims to be an atheist, all they're telling me is they know there's a God, and they're trying to defy him. And so the majority of people, when they get older, and a lot of young people probably don't know there's a God. But most older people, when they get a little more knowledge, they can survey life, they really know there's a God. But then the devil comes, takes it out of their hearts, takes it out of their minds. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. So there's some people, they hear it, they receive it, but they won't keep on taking root. What is that? A serious servant of God takes root. Takes root. And that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard, once again, they heard. They go forth. But then they allow their choices. They don't say it like that. But in reality, that's what it is. They allow their choices to choke them. They're choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Wrong choices. Wrong choices. They allow wrong choices to dominate their life. They become more concerned about other things than their servanthood to God. And bring no fruit to perfection. God's serious about fruit. I mean, it's evident Jesus was serious about fruit. He came to the fig tree that hadn't produced any fruit, and he cursed it. And bring no fruit to perfection. How many like fortune cookies to eat? How many always throw the fortunes in the trash? No, we got to hang on to those. I got one last night. It was right on track. It was. Yeah. Hang on. It said, you will soon reach your perfection. And Sister Pepper's was, your expectations will come soon. Whoa. And so I hollered to Sister Pepper. I said, I need to get my house in order because it says I'm soon to reach my perfection. And the only place perfection happens is heaven. So I'm going to be going out of here for long. Woo, praise God. But God's serious about perfection, isn't he? Fruit to perfection. In other words, perfection is just a matter of doing it how God wants it done when he shows it to me. Amen. That's what perfection, fruit under perfection is. So here is a group of people that heard. That means they had a new creature. They had been born again. But then they started making all kinds of wrong choices. And they brought forth no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word. Praise God. Say it. Heard the word. Awesome. Heard the word. Wait till Tuesday. Heard the word. Keep it. Whoa. Keep it. Cling to it. No, that's not what it says, but that's what it means. Keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. And everybody loves patience. Of course you do. Doesn't mean you have it, but you better love it. Because God says you need it. So you better be in love with patience. That's what I tell God. You know what goes around comes around. That's what I tell my students all the time. If you want to enjoy math, you're going to have to fall in love with it. Fall in love with your math and you won't have a problem with it. Fall in love with patience and you won't have a problem with it. Woo. If you fall in love with it, that means you want it more than anything. Right? Praise our God. Bring forth fruit with patience. One definition I have found that I enjoy about patience is joyful endurance. That means you smile as you crucify your flesh. What is that? Patience. Nowhere in the Word did it say it was going to be easy. No, I think to the contrary. What did Sirius say? Work. Much thought. How many has ever heard the terminology, think before you speak? How many keep it? Woo! They heard the word. Keep it. Think before you speak. How about what the scripture says? Bringing every thought under captivity to the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! What is that? That's a serious servant of God. Hallelujah. Not wanting to say anything that wouldn't be right or proper. Not wanting to think anything that wouldn't be right or proper. But wanting to think on the pure things, the holy things, the righteous things, the good things, the things of the kingdom of God. What is that? That is a serious servant that has been born of God, that is serious about serving God, and wants to be just like Jesus Christ, his master. But it takes thought and it takes work. That's the serious part of being a servant, because becoming a servant is what God has done by his grace, by his power, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. To become a servant is not hard at all. But then to grow into a serious servant of God will take great effort, self-denial, and surrender on a continual basis. A burnt offering in the morning, a burnt offering in the evening, and a burnt offering on every Sabbath. Hallelujah. Putting our all on the altars. Yeah, I told you it was a prelude. Because it all goes together. Actually, this whole book, the whole Bible, all the Word of God fitly joined together. God wants to put it in us. Hallelujah. I was going to preach to you this morning, but I didn't get to it. Keep it sweet. The sermon ended with the book of Revelation when John saw the book, that little book. And he was told, go take the book and eat the book. And in your mouth it's going to be sweet, but in your belly it's going to be bitter. Well, really, through the scripture, the belly always represents that old man, that flesh. Oh, man. Some of us represent it better than others. Oh, I will not go there. But the whole reality of what was going on is God's word is sweet to the new creature created in Christ. But it is very bitter to that old man. And that old man doesn't like the word of God. That new man loves God's word. And even when it's hard, that new man wants to get it accomplished in their lives. Amen. What is that? That is that progressive sanctification. We'll deal with that in a later teaching also. But that's part of being that serious servant of God. Hallelujah. There is not one area of the life of a child of God that God does not want to change. When you and I come to God, we are wretched, we are evil, we are sinful, and all the habits that we have formed are probably not good ones. Yeah. Not thinking before we speak, that's a bad habit. How do we get rid of a bad habit? We don't. We just make new ones. And we start thinking before we speak. We make it an effort to think about it. Oh, wow, that's definition of serious, isn't it? Think. Great consideration. Think about what that's going to produce if you say that. Think. Consideration. And then great work. Praise God. Isn't it funny how they developed the little phrase, bite your tongue? Now, anybody in here really want to bite your tongue? No, don't you hate it when you bite your tongue? Yeah. But a serious servant will go ahead and bite it if it can't be controlled. What the Bible say? If your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. That's a little serious, isn't it? Whoa. Are we that serious about how we serve God? Are we serious to do whatever it takes to change? Or do we just kind of throw up the surrender flag to the enemy and say, well, this is just the way I am? What is that? I'm sorry, but if you keep throwing up that card of this is just the way I am, all you want to know what that really is? You're going to hate your pastor. You'll be mad at him. You may not hate him, but you'll be mad at him. You know what that is? That is worship to the devil. That's exactly what that is. You're saying, devil, you got me in this area, and I'm just going to stay this way. I'm praising you, devil, for all the ways you keep me. Keep me bound. Can't serve God right. That's what that is. That's a worship of the devil. So what's a serious servant say? God, by your grace, I'm changing. Yeah, grace. Grace. Marvelous grace. Hallelujah, that's my favorite song. Hallelujah, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Hallelujah. And that same grace is going to keep me serving God. That same grace is going to keep reminding me of that area that needs rectified. Going to keep reminding me that I am a serious servant of God. I am a reflection of the light. I am to be a light to shine to all those that I meet, greet, and communicate with. Whoa. And I realize I haven't done that like I ought to. See, that's good. That's good. Wow. What am I going to do about changing it? Woo! Wow, Brother Pepper, that's going to take a lot of effort. That's going to take a lot of work. Yeah, you're going to have to get serious about it, huh? Serious servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. After all, we've been born from above. We've been washed from our sins, cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus. He's Master. He's Lord. He's our Savior. He's God. Hallelujah. And it's one thing to praise Him. And He is worthy of all praise. Matter of fact, He's worthy of the praise of sinners too. But it's another thing to serve Him. You can praise Him all day long and never become a serious servant of Christ. Because He's worthy of praise. Didn't Jesus Himself say if these would quit praising, the very rocks would begin to cry out? He's worthy of praise, and rocks can praise Him. Hallelujah. Creation praises Him. Men and women everywhere can praise Him. But only those that are ready to surrender all will serve Him. Serious Servants. Serious Servants Institute. We have the ministry of reconciliation. And the greatest way to preach and teach Christ is by being a serious servant of Christ. Let people see your love. Let people experience that grace. Let people experience mercy coming from you. After all, freely you have received, freely give. Praise God. Glory. The birth of a servant is what God does for anyone that will call upon His name. But the producing of a serious servant depends on the choices that that individual makes with their lives when the grace of God appears to them. What is that? That's the Word of God coming our direction. Titus chapter 2 tells us the grace of God hath appeared all to all men, teaching us. God's grace comes teaching. Wow. Hallelujah. Comes revealing, comes showing what we can have through Jesus Christ, and actually what judgment will fall without Christ. Amen. Gonna have a piano player. That wasn't too bad. That wasn't too long. I ain't done yet. Praise the Lord. It's something to contemplate about, isn't it? It's something that you, at first, you just don't really want to jump up and shout, "Praise God, I want to be a serious servant." I used to testify like that. When I first got saved, I used to stand up and testify, "Thank God for conviction." I mean, there'd just be a hush over the church, you know, like, oh. I was glad God was dealing with me. I was glad God showing me how to change. I was glad. I mean, I was like Psalmist David. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Hallelujah. Is all Sister Pepper could do to get me to church before I was saved. And then after I was saved, it was not a problem at all. Because that's where I wanted to be. I wanted to be right where I found Jesus, at an altar. That's where I wanted to be. I wanted to hear from my Master. I wanted to hear from my Lord. I wanted to be touched by my God. Hallelujah. You see, I don't want that to die. I don't want that to diminish. I want to keep that alive. By His grace, by His mercy, that is one area of my life that I never had to wrestle after I got saved. When those doors was open, that's where I was at. I never, ever would miss church. We'd drive from Chelsea to Claremore when snow had fallen, just like Brother Shelton. Why? Because we wanted to get to the house of God. Because we knew that's where our strength was going to come from. Oh yeah, we read the Word at the house. We studied the Word at the house. got baptized in the Holy Ghost the first time at the house. Didn't realize what had happened. Serious. Nowadays we use that word like, seriously? You want me to do what? Seriously? I have to do that? Sister Pepper said it real good here a while back. Don't have to do nothing. But I want to serve Him. Because I love Him. And I know He loves me because He died for me. Hallelujah, that I could have new life. Oh, praise God. See, it's all a matter of getting the right perspective on what God has done for us. Of how we look at our circumstances and situations, and we put it into His mind first and let Him renew ours. Oh, praise God. That takes work. That takes effort. That takes much consideration to change our minds. Hallelujah. But let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, but became a servant. Became a servant. That's what he showed his disciples at that Last Supper. This is how greatness is achieved in the kingdom of God. It's not how many people you have in your congregation. It's not how many people you have liking your Facebook Live. It's being the servant just like the Master. Just like the Master. Hallelujah. I've always been strange. And it's probably just me. How many realize the records being kept in heaven? We're going to be judged according to our works, what we have done, even as Christians. The records being kept in heaven. And so I've never really been concerned about how many got saved in my revivals. Never really been concerned how many I've led to Jesus Christ. I just know that when I get to heaven, the record will be correct. And it will be there. And it will be awaiting me when I get there. And I am wanting to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Enter into the joy that has been prepared for you. Hallelujah. So my focus is not on numbers. My focus is not on followers. My focus is on being a serious servant of God. And if I can maintain that status with my God, then He will add unto. He will add unto. He will work His marvelous works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we just simply put our will in His hands, then He will be able to do great things in us and through us. Praise God. Stand with me tonight if you can. Let us lift our hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's make some brand new commitments to our God. Hallelujah. Who has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Glory. Glory. Oh, Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. And we thank you for your wonderful word, Lord, that abides forever, forever settled in heaven. And we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for mercy and grace. We thank you, Lord, for your love, Lord, that is everlasting. Lord, we thank you that you deal in our hearts. Lord, you speak to our minds. You direct our paths, oh God. Because we're acknowledging you in all of our ways, O Lord. And we're putting our trust in you, God. And that gives you an open door to direct our paths. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory. Praise be to our God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Praise be to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. These altars are open here tonight. Let us come and let's offer up that burnt offering fresh and anew. Hallelujah. See, it was all an offering that could be offered up continually at any time. Hallelujah. Or it was something that was supposed to be offered every morning, every evening, every Sabbath. Hallelujah. But it was always acceptable unto the Lord for that burnt offering to be given unto Him. That sweet-smelling savor, hallelujah, of all being put on an altar.